picture.
Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. Hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. I don't know if you had a chance to tune in for the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, but I was very pleased with how God worked through these different individuals that share their passions in different areas in their life journey. But on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard from Tom and Kelly McCowan. She was the first recording artist to be here in the studio sharing some of her music ministry, a couple songs she wrote, and some of her faith journey and love story. So it was great to have Tom and Kelly in here. And then yesterday you heard from Dr. Jim Painter and Dr. Alex Zachariah. And what's important about what they shared yesterday is this Thursday we're launching into a four-part wellness workshop series. And so we would ask that if you're interested in attending, that you would go online to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you would sign up. That way we have enough materials and can get you involved. And if you want to be a part of the wellness walk on Thursday or subsequent Thursdays, then make sure we have your information, because we'll be doing that this Thursday. The seminar itself will be about 45 minutes, allowing for about 15 minutes of walking around here at Lincoln Square. But this Thursday, February 9th, the theme will be Enriching Daily Living at Home. So that's this Thursday, and there's three options for this workshop. So you can schedule it in the morning, 9 to 10, or 12:30 to 1:30, or 6 to 7 p.m. So they're the same workshop offered three different times, 9 to 10, 12:30 to 1:30, or 6 to 7 p.m. And you can find out all that information at greatnewsradio.org. Well, today's special guest comes via my relationship with Pastor Jason Schiffel. You're familiar with him being on the Wednesday and Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you've known Jason for any period of time, you know he has a very strong stance, I think a biblical stance on life, a passion about life. Some of you have even heard some of his own faith journey and some of the decisions his mother had made and some of the ways it's influenced and affected him throughout his life. He has a number of times spoken at pro-life rallies and has been a part of an ecumenical service where various churches and denominations and people at different walks in the faith journey gather together to celebrate life, the importance of life. And so, Jason, I'm going to have you introduce our special guest, because there's something coming up this Saturday, February 11th at 10 a.m. But I guess this is the first time you've met and talked with our special guest. But you both have the same heart. And I will say to our listeners, we just finished praying up the program. And I think at least Renee and I were a little misty-eyed. I'm sure you too, Jason, as we talk about God's passion for the unborn, his passion for life, life till death do us part, life that he extends to each of us. The life that he's breathed into us is sacred. And so I think everyone here in the studio has a real passion for, you know, knowing what God wants us to do as citizens in this world. But I know you have met Renee before, but why are you so, we'll start out with you. Why are you so passionate about life, life issues, the unborn? Of course, you're going to say because it's biblical and God's in it, but to maybe lay some groundwork for our special guest.
Well, I mean, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, I came to give life and life abundantly. So Jesus says that life matters. God so loved the world that he came and sent his son. So his love extends to life and life that would be given through his son. John chapter 10 is an interesting chapter because John 10 starts by saying, the thief comes only to kill and to destroy. And so there is a power that is invested in killing and destroying, taking life. And Jesus then says, but I came to give life because I am the great shepherd. And even in this chapter says, there will be under shepherds, there will be other shepherds who do not understand the worth of the sheep and will allow the sheep to be taken by this thief, that will allow the sheep. But he says then there needs to be, though, this group of people, this cadre of people. Here he's speaking to his disciples, who understand the great worth of the sheep, who understand the great worth of the great shepherd, the great calling that comes from that shepherd. And I think that as Christians, Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus is saying to us, I'm the great shepherd, and I need you to care for my sheep. He said to Peter by the coast at the end of the book of John, feed my sheep, care for my sheep, love my sheep. And all of that, you can't care for the sheep, you can't love the sheep, you can't lead and teach the sheep unless they have life. And therefore, life matters. And so I think biblically, Jesus came to give us life, came to give us life through the gospel. Paul says repeatedly, haven't you heard? Well, you need to be alive to hear. Hearing comes from being alive. And so I think that there's no greater stance than that. And let's be honest, the Bible constantly will tell us that one of the greatest tragedies comes when we put our own self-worth above that of the worth of others. Jesus says that we're supposed to love others sacrificially, and we're supposed to do so in a lavish, kind of limitless way. And what happens when we talk about abortion is we're talking about suddenly we're giving somebody, say the mother who's carrying the baby, we're telling her that her choice is more important than the choice of life. The highest form of truth gets to be her. And that's not what God's word says. That's a kind of idolatry. And so in order to be lined up with God there, in order to trust God there, in order to serve God like he would like us to serve him, in order to love like God, I mean, Jesus spends the whole of the Gospels repeatedly telling us what it looks like to love people. We can't do that by putting ourselves first. In fact, Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Which Jesus is saying, he in himself, this is God with skin on incarnate, comes and says, it's not about me. And he repeatedly says through the Gospels, it's about my Father's work. Being sent so that they might have life and life abundantly. So I think from a biblical standpoint, life matters. I think that from a moral standpoint, life matters. I think, you know, you could go all throughout it. I think that life matters. You know, I'm driven by, I think it was Ronald Reagan. So we'll go with a secular source on this one. But I think it was Ronald Reagan who said that everybody who is pro-choice has already been born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful statement because it is a statement saying that you are choosing for others what wasn't chosen for you. So you have a different set of standards that you're living by. And so this is the first time I met Renee, but we were both at the ecumenical pro-life vigil that was held at Windsor Road Christian Church last month, and I had to get out of there. We got done just in time where I looked at my watch and I said, I can get home and kiss my babies, because after something like that, we have the rose ceremony, we light the candles, we talk about how important life is. The first thing I want to do is go home and kiss my babies. Because I'm thinking, gosh, thank you, Lord, that in your grace, I didn't make those kinds of choices. And aside from him, I may have, who knows, you know, in our fallen kind of state, who knows what kind of choices we would make. But praise God that by his grace, I see the great value of life. And so I just want to get home and kiss my baby. So I didn't get to say hi to Renee, but we were both there together supporting life and standing up for life. And so she sent me an email and she said, hey, there's things coming up on the 11th. And I'd love to talk to you more about it. I'd love to see how we get more people involved. And I said, well, you know, I know a way that you can talk to a whole lot of people at one time. And so we invited her to come in here and spend some time with us.
Now, at least our listeners who know you well, their eyebrows are what? Babies. Now, you're referring to your, what, 9 or 10-year-old?
Oh, I hugged my 11-year-old son last night.
11
and told,
now.
And
gosh.
Told him, you're still one of my babies.
Yeah. So I think, what, 11, 7 or 8? Molly is 8?
11, 8, 6, and 3.
Okay, just in case everyone's like, I didn't know Tasha was pregnant or recently gave birth. Okay, your babies are the range of ages.
Yeah, but... You're my baby until I pass on to glory, and I told him that. And I say that because I want my son to know, hey, you know what, you can come and cry. You could come to, you know, you're my baby. You're always going to be that. You're always mine to care for.
Yeah, yeah. So, Renee, you've initiated, you know, we've touched base. We have you in the studio. And I'm just getting to know a little about you and your husband, Peter. He's at the University of Illinois. Vet med, yeah. I believe.
Yes,
and
he's in veterinary medicine.
Yet travels the world, because we had some interesting discussions off air about trips to Israel. And I don't know if Renee is going to be a part of maybe one of our future conversational English classes or part of the family in the theater troupe, or she's like, oh, these are interesting. Does your husband Peter sing? You know, who knows, maybe
he
singing.
He doesn't sing, but my oldest daughter does. She actually has, I think, a pretty good voice. Yeah. Parents are always biased, but...
Sure. So it's kind of been fascinating just getting to know you a little better, but some of your pro-life stance. So you obviously have some children, you made choices like you wanted to bring them into the world. Did you view them as gifts from God?
Absolutely. Well, and just to share, you know, a little bit of information in terms of my personal perspective, both my children are adopted. I was very fortunate to adopt Emily. We were very fortunate to adopt Emily when she was an infant. This was an open adoption facilitated through Catholic Charities. And we were able to bring her home at 3 days old. We kept in touch with her birth mother. Her birth mother has since gone on to get married and have additional children. My youngest daughter, Natasha, is age 7. And Natasha, we were very fortunate to adopt just before she turned age 2. She was actually born in Russia, and she spent most of her first years in an orphanage. We were very lucky that she was in, from what we saw, was a very good orphanage, and she was well taken care of. Prior to that, my husband and I suffered 3 miscarriages, which, of course, is very different from abortion. A miscarriage is an accidental loss of life. Abortion is an intentional taking of a life. But they're both tragedies, and they're both the loss of God's creation. So, you know, there's a lot of personal background that goes into my views on being pro-life and the importance of showing support for the sanctity of life. In terms of my personal background, I was raised Catholic since I was a baby, but my ancestor on my mother's side is actually Jewish. And I've only found out some of this as an adult, that most of my relatives on my mother's side were Jewish. Unfortunately, several of them died during the Holocaust, and that really is very much a part of why I feel so strongly about being pro-life. Some people have referred to abortion as the second Holocaust. I truly believe that, and I believe that throughout history, we as people have not shown compassion for all life. We have not shown support for all life. I mean, the Jewish people were not considered to be fully human. Dating back many, many years ago, African Americans were not considered to be fully human. So I think this is unfortunately another iteration in our world. And I feel very strongly about this. And I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to volunteer in some different pro-life endeavors. And that's why I've gotten involved with helping out with this pro-life rally that will take place on Saturday morning outside Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, that's this Saturday, February 11th, 10 a.m. outside of the Planned Parenthood, which is located at 302 Stoughton in Champaign. But Renee, I'm just thinking out loud. There's a lot of listeners that are tuned in, all walks of life. Some have had an abortion. Right. Some have had miscarriages. And I always think, wow, Lord, here's a situation where a woman and husband maybe are very excited for the potential birth of their child. They're probably making preparation. And in my mind, in my small mind, I think, I can't even imagine the hurt or heartache. And not to put you on the spot, but I guess I am. But there's other people that have maybe experienced that. And in your case, I'm just learning 3 times. How did you work through that? How did God meet your needs? Were there people that came alongside you? Because there's people that are still hurting over that, or a decision that they made to terminate the pregnancy that they had. How would you talk to that person, or how could you maybe come alongside them and say, you've been there, or you understand aspects of it?
Sure. Well, I would certainly encourage them to reach out to others. Many women, many families have suffered through miscarriages, stillbirth, loss of life. Unfortunately, many women and many families in our country have suffered through an abortion as well. And that grief is devastating. Mm-hmm. And it takes a long time to heal from that. In my own case, I certainly reached out to my faith and to my church. I was fortunate to find support groups that could help people who've gone through similar circumstances. I sought counseling myself. And I've read a lot, I've researched a lot. So I would encourage people to reach out in whatever manner really seems to work for them.
Yeah. So why Planned Parenthood? Why specifically this group and this organization?
Sure. Good. Thank you so much for asking, Jason. Well, this is part of a national endeavor, this pro-life rally to defund Planned Parenthood. There are rallies that will take place, over 200 of them, in 43 states across our country. We are one of them. And the reason why it's specifically outside Planned Parenthood is because Planned Parenthood is this nation's largest abortion provider. A lot of people, I think, really are misinformed about Planned Parenthood. And a lot of women specifically are misinformed about Planned Parenthood. And there's lots of data and lots of information that's publicly available that anyone can access to become better informed. Planned Parenthood is bad for women. Planned Parenthood does not help women. Planned Parenthood performs over 300,000 abortions every year. 1 in 8 women who visit Planned Parenthood will have an abortion. There's lots of misinformation about what Planned Parenthood does do. Planned Parenthood does not provide prenatal services to women. There are other wonderful organizations in our community that do. Birthright and Living Alternatives are 2 of them. Planned Parenthood also has been and is under investigation by our own government. Sorry, I want to make sure I share correct information with you. Nowadays, if people choose the wrong words and they don't say something quite correctly, it's very easy to misconstrue that. So Planned Parenthood currently receives $550 million from taxpayers, and this represents nearly half of their annual budget. $550 million. That's a massive amount of money. And this comes from state and local and federal government. As I said, they are the nation's largest abortion provider, performing over 330,000 abortions per year, and that represents one-third of all abortions performed in the entire United States. There have been over 55 million babies who have been aborted in the United States since Roe versus Wade was passed, making abortion legal. And there are over 3,300 preborn babies who die from abortion every single day in the United States. And 36% of all abortions in the United States are of African-American babies. Planned Parenthood is not helping women and children and families. There were some congressional hearings that were held last year. And again, this information is publicly available. Anybody can Google this. And a lot of this information, not the congressional hearings, but the information about Planned Parenthood, it's in their own annual report. This is not something that religious groups or pro-life groups have made up. This is Planned Parenthood's own reporting. Planned Parenthood has a very long record of unethical behavior, and frankly, they don't deserve our tax dollars. Planned Parenthood has been caught shielding child predators, lying about what services they do provide in terms of prenatal care, deceiving government officials, defying state and federal laws, submitting fraudulent Medicaid claims. They overbilled over $130 million to Medicaid, and that's only the beginning of what's been found. A small fraction of Planned Parenthood affiliates have actually been audited, so that number could be quite greater than $130 million. And perhaps the most egregious thing that Planned Parenthood has been involved with is the harvesting and selling of fetal tissue. This is the selling of baby body parts and the illicit trafficking of aborted babies' body parts, which is a federal felony. The congressional hearings that were held last year have resulted in various criminal and regulatory referrals to the FBI, to the U.S. Department of Justice, and various state attorney generals and district attorneys for criminal prosecution of some of the largest Planned Parenthood affiliates. There's a committee called the Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives. This is part of the Energy and Commerce Committee that held these congressional hearings. And their report has just become publicly available. Again, anybody can access this online. It's nearly a 500-page report, but it very clearly spells out these egregious, egregious actions that Planned Parenthood has taken time after time after time. And again, the selling of aborted babies' body parts. This is just horrific, and it is a federal felony.
And so we're talking on all those grounds about the need to defund Planned Parenthood. And so to make that known or to raise awareness, there's going to be this event that's going to be on February 11th, and it's going to be start at 10 o'clock at the Planned Parenthood location over at 302 Stoughton in Champaign. But what is this going to look like? I know that I think from your messages that you sent me, you know, you're hoping that it is positive, peaceful, and prayerful. But what would you say to the person who's thinking, you know what, I'd love to come out to this, but I keep seeing protests on TV. I keep seeing all these things happening, and I don't want to be a part of something like that. Or maybe people see that and they go, how will this be different because we are believers?
Sure. Thank you, Jason. Well, again, it's called a protest because that's part of the national movement, but this is a pro-life rally, and this is an opportunity for people to come out and to show their support for the sanctity of all human life. Our program will include a variety of pastors from different churches, different faiths in the greater Champaign-Urbana community, and these are pastors that will share some inspirational remarks, lead us in prayer. We also will have a choir that will lead us in song, and we will have some very powerful personal testimony from a local woman and mother who has gone through the trauma of abortion herself a number of years ago and had to deal with its devastating after effects and then her own journey to healing and forgiveness. So we will be praying, we will be singing, and it will be positive, it will be prayerful, and this is open to all ages, children to adults. I will bring my own children, other people are bringing their own children. It is a protest, but it is a positive, prayerful, peaceful protest in keeping with so many pro-life activities that already take place in our community and across the nation.
And I think there's a national website, protestpp.com. protestpp.com, and they can find a link, but it's a little vague on some of the information. I mean, they can link back to the local Facebook page, I believe.
Right.
And is there an email address or another way for people to maybe contact you personally so they might have questions or they say, is this appropriate or do I bring a sign or what do I bring to this special pro-life gathering?
Certainly. People can feel free to contact me directly. My email is ReneeMullen1@comcast.net. That's ReneeMullen and the number 1 at comcast.net. If they do go to that national site, protestpp.com, it lists all of these national pro-life rallies, so it will link specifically to our pro-life rally in Champaign-Urbana. And not everyone uses Facebook, we recognize that, but if people do use Facebook, they can access the Facebook page directly from that link, and they can find all of these details on the Facebook page. In addition to the pastors from various area churches and various faiths that will be part of our program, we will also have student leaders from Students for Life of Illinois and Illinois Collegians for Life that will be sharing some inspirational remarks with us as well. These are individuals that often refer to themselves as the pro-life generation. For decades and decades, people have been showing their support for pro-life, but what's especially heartwarming is that we now have so many younger individuals who think of themselves as the pro-life generation and who are very much part of endeavors like this pro-life rally. I also want to say that in terms of our pro-life rally, Pastor Jason, I think, had mentioned there are people protesting all sorts of things these days all over our community and beyond. We're actually wanting to do something good to help people with this pro-life rally. So we are specifically encouraging our attendees to bring donations of diapers, wipes, and baby clothes for babies from birth through 24 months. And all of those donations will be given to Birthright and to Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center. Those are two wonderful organizations in our community that do provide care for women and children. They provide prenatal care, and they provide their services for free. They do not charge for their services like Planned Parenthood.
I'll have both those links at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and also I'll reference Renee's email address on our website if you need more information. It's happening this Saturday, February 11th, 10 a.m. outside the Planned Parenthood location, 302 Stoughton in Champaign, and certainly it's something that the Lord would want us to address and be involved in.
Yeah, I'll be there, and my son Jacob will be there. Most likely Tasha will be there, too. And I just want to invite everybody who's listening, you know, all the believers, come on out and let's stand for life. You know, I'm reminded in the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul, then Saul, was on his way to Damascus to take life. And on that road, he met Jesus, who sacrificed his life, and it changed Saul's life. It made him see the value of life and the value and importance of life. And so as we come out, I just want to invite you, come out. Let's reflect who Jesus is, his kindness, his love, his compassions, his long-suffering, his patience. And let's show the world what a different kind of life looks like. It may be the thing that changes somebody's life. And so please come out. Please join us. It will be great.
This Saturday, February 11th, 10 a.m., 302 Stoughton in Champaign. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Renee Mullen with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.